flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Hump day, final hour. Lots to get to. We'll get back into the big story of the day in just a couple of minutes. The Hawks welcome the Pistons to State Farm Arena tonight as well. Fun one. Trey and Jalen Johnson are Trey's probable. Jalen Johnson questionable, but should be a fun one tonight as the Hawks are playing pretty good. Mark Schlereth is going to join us in 20 minutes to get us ready for the championship weekend in the NFL, AFC and NFC championship games, both right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And then we'll get to an AMA at 1:40 as well.
Damn. What? No college football.
What do you mean? Damn. Oh, yeah, I know. It's the first. I know. And it's funny because we said at the beginning of the year, before Georgia Tech played Florida State in Ireland, right? First game of the year.
Yep.
It's like, all right, get ready and enjoy every second of it because it flies by. And even though this is the longest college football season, literally, we've ever had, it still went by fast. Yeah, yeah, it still went by really, really fast. Like, it feels like, you know, all these great, crazy, it feels like that Alabama-Georgia game was yesterday, you know? Like, that feels like that happened, I think, 10 seconds ago. And yeah, the obviously national championship game was on Monday night, and now we are, you're right, Randy, we are in the college football offseason.
Yeah.
Dang it.
Yep, sucks. Everybody doing the winter workouts. And,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, would there be any major news? I mean, outside of guys that are declaring for the draft, I don't see anybody getting fired or getting replaced or leaving, going to the NFL or anything. So it might be a quiet offseason until the transfer portal opens back up.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. Do we even get to have quiet offseasons anymore?
Yeah,
you know
I know.
Mean?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, something will happen. You know, yeah. you're probably like, I don't really see anything on the horizon as far as like
as soon
blockbuster.
As I see it, though.
Yeah, exactly. As soon as you say it, like, you know, LSU decides they want to fire Brian Kelly or something like that.
Right.
Or the other thing is like maybe a coach just decides, hey, like I like this opening or I like this job and I'm going to go do that. There were so many unforeseen things the last couple of off seasons. I think probably the next kind of like major shoe to drop or blockbuster or whatever, as far as the off season goes, is because all the Big Ten and SEC conference leaders met here in Atlanta when they were here for the national championship game. And they talked about changing stuff, but they didn't actually come to any agreements. They're going to meet again in February in New Orleans. So they're going to get back together. I wouldn't be surprised if they make some changes then.
Right, go to what?
Oh, just maybe reseeding instead of giving like automatic top fours to the conference champions, or I don't know.
I think it's going to happen.
But too.
Do you think it'll happen this coming up season?
Well, that's all I'm saying is if anything is going to happen of substance,
right.
That would probably be it
because
it was reported last night that they're going to meet again in February.
Okay,
so that's all. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. It should. Like,
I agree.
If they're smart, then that's what they'll do. Even though I think the playoff ended up being
pretty
fine.
Good,
I think
I thought,
it ended up being
good.
Totally
I thought,
fine.
I thought it was actually good.
Yeah, it was really good.
Because I thought that, I think what made it as far as the automatic season, which I do think should be changed, because Arizona State held their own.
Yeah, they played good.
You know, they played good.
They played good.
I really thought that was one of those things.
And
where
Oregon and Georgia Georgia won their first game, but Oregon got smoked.
Yeah.
So, like, you can get mad at Boise State for being in there. Oregon was the undefeated number one team in the country, and they got the hell beat out of them.
Yeah, man.
So,
yeah. I thought it was good.
It can happen to anyone.
I didn't like the results because I wanted Georgia to win it, but I thought it was great. I actually liked it. Did we mention about the contract extension for Kevin O'Connell?
No.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, Kevin O'Connell got in the contract. I saw they're going to – also the GM, because usually when the head coach gets one, they want to get the GM. That's such a – I mean, you know, when we talk about just that, when you want the GM and head coach eye to eye on everything, they have the perfect balance right there, man.
I think so, too. I mean,
perfect balance.
Obviously, he's a really good coach.
They got a really good GM.
I do think that, you know, and we talked to Mark Schlereth a little bit about this last week, like – it got exposed a little bit the final couple games of the season, right? Like they had
the
quarterback situation, and then just also game plan wise. Like if your offensive line can't hold up, maybe don't run all these plays that take 7 seconds to develop.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well,
like Sam Darnold's going to hold the ball too long. You got to do something to try to help him out. I think Mark Schlereth on the show last week said that's bad coaching about Kevin O'Connell. So again, like his body of work in Minnesota has been fantastic. He's won 13 plus games with Sam Darnold 1 year and with Kirk Cousins another year. So those are fine quarterbacks, but obviously not like special top tier quarterbacks in the NFL.
They got their guy who's supposed to be special.
Yeah, right.
Who's supposed to be.
So now that's what they've got to do. Is, I mean, they drafted J.J. McCarthy in the first round to be the next guy. Now you've got to be the next guy. They also got to figure out what they're going to do with Sam Darnold. Just let him walk or try to keep him or whatever it is they're going to do.
What would you do? I would franchise him.
Ooh, that's interesting. Okay. Yeah, because then you have a year.
Yeah.
And J.J. can kind of get ready that way.
Yeah.
That's going to be a costly.
Yeah, it
be
is.
Be a costly little payday.
Yeah, it
What's
is.
The franchise tag on the quarterback right
gotta
now? Like $50 million?
It got to be somewhere close to a 47 somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I guess. I don't know. I guess that's what I would do. Just let J.J. play.
All right.
You know?
Is he ready? Is he going to be ready? Well, he got hurt in the preseason, though.
You get ready. You know? Oh, like health-wise. Got it. I don't know, man. All these rookie quarterbacks came in and played good this year.
They did, really.
All of them did.
And it seemed like a lot of them, because a lot of them played a lot of college football. A lot of them were like Jaden. I mean, you look at Jaden, you look at Michael, you look at Bo Nick, you look at I'm missing one of them. Anyways, all the dudes
Drake May, Caleb Williams.
These dudes played a lot of football.
Yeah.
They played a lot of college football. So, I mean, that's going to be the thing now. You know, I know you're talking about Anthony Richardson in effect, 13 games as opposed to what these guys have done. Now, college is different from, but playing football matters.
No, I mean, that's a huge trend lately, definitely. It's trying to, I don't remember what the magic number was. Somebody had said to us a couple of months ago, it was like 37 college starts or something like that.
Right.
Tends to be the line of demarcation between, all right, like, because it used to be held against you, right? Like, if you played too many games, it's like, well, why are you still there? Now everybody stays forever because of all the extra COVID years and all the different, you know, loopholes that people have to stay in college. And you're right. Like, so many of these guys played so many games. And then I think Bo Nix is the best example of it. Like, Bo Nix was cast aside when his time at Auburn was done. Nobody expected him to go to Oregon and do what he did. Had 2 great years at Oregon and then gets drafted. Still, people didn't expect him to be, you know, like, okay, maybe you're a late first rounder. What are you in the NFL? And he comes in and has such a good rookie season in the NFL. I think that kind of stuff speaks to that and helps maybe the way that people analyze quarterbacks and evaluate them, looking at who you want to draft and who's, because a lot of these guys have played a ton of games in college now that are coming out too.
Yeah. And so, I mean, maybe that works for, I mean, obviously you look at the two guys that are coming out now, Cam Ward, a lot of football.
Played a million college football games.
Shedeur Sanders, 4 years of football.
Yeah, a lot of college football
and
games.
And so, yeah, that might be the thing right there. That might be because of the NIL, these quarterbacks stay that extra year maybe.
Again, Hawks, Pistons tonight right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As of right now, sounds like it's going to happen. I know we were kind of wondering about with the road conditions and all that, but haven't heard anything otherwise. So sounds like Hawks, Pistons tonight at 7:30 right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mark Schlereth going to join us, talk some NFL playoffs in about 10 minutes from right now. Let's get to the big story of the day. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain.
Boom! The Big Ten at the moment owns college football, and there's no way you can say it doesn't. When you go back-to-back, that's generational. In Ohio State's case, they beat 2 SEC schools along the way. And there's an old saying that was emanated in 1828 when Andrew Jackson was elected president. A senator from New York said, "To the victor belongs the spoils." And that's exactly where the Big Ten is this morning. It's an uncomfortable feeling for the SEC, which has owned the sport. But it's a reality this morning.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, if that's the outcome or the takeaway you have from the last couple of years of college football, because Michigan won and then Ohio State won, I guess. I mean, I think it's just the blue bloods own college football, as they always have. Like, just look at the last 10 national champions. I mean, They're from a lot of different conferences. Most of them are from the SEC, if you want to go a little further back than just the last 2 years. But it's all the same schools. I mean, it's Georgia, it's Alabama, it's Ohio State, it's Michigan, it's the Blue Bloods. You know?
Yeah, you know me. I don't get caught up in all that conference loyalty and all that other
crap. I don't know why anyone would.
I'm all about Georgia. You know it is right now. But I think that, you know.
Like, why would I have any pride in being a school that's in the Big Ten because some other school won a national championship?
And again, I go back to something. I go back to stuff you tell me all the time because you're rational.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Now, I guess like we get a little money for it, right? Yeah. Like you disperse the money because the teams made it further in the playoff and all that kind of stuff. But like, that's not going to mean
because I don't care.
Your program now is going to be on that level.
I wasn't excited for the SEC when Alabama won a damn title.
Yeah, of course not.
I was happy for Georgia when they won them, you know. And so, but I think that, you know, when you look at it from a standpoint, the back-to-back national champions are from the same conference. They're the two best teams, the most notarized team in that conference.
Yeah.
Right? Rightfully so.
Yeah.
Fine. Whatever.
But you could convince me of that argument if in a couple years from now
they go on a string like
not even them crowd. like if Northwestern wins one,
right?
You know, then it's like, all right, yeah, okay, the Big Ten's on top,
right?
The money has trickled down and everyone used the NIL, right? Like Ohio State winning a national championship doesn't mean like that means nothing has changed in college football. Ohio State's won a billion national championships in every era.
The best like, teams win, yeah. You know? Yeah. But when you look at, but like I said, they are the two
and the
best
same teams
in that
win.
Conference. Yes,
the same teams win.
They're the two best teams in that conference. You look at the SEC. Who's won the most recent? LSU, Georgia, Auburn, and Alabama.
Yeah, the same teams that have always won it.
You can throw Tennessee. You can throw Tennessee and Florida in there also. So there's six schools in the last 30 years from one conference and two from the other in a conference. But that doesn't mean one is dominant over the other. The Big Ten, they want to use this as – that's their right to do that. They have won the back-to-back national championship. Their conference has whatever. But you go over the last 30 years, and the other conference that they're always competing with that everybody celebrates that isn't on top anymore, I'm using air quotes, has won – seven teams have won it in the last 30 years.
Right.
So
exactly. And if you just go to the last 10, six of the 10 championships – again, I'm not here to argue for the SEC being the dominant conference either. I think any of the conference allegiance arguments outside of the team that won the thing is kind of silly. And again, zoom out further. It has really nothing to do with any of that. It's just it doesn't matter what changes in college football as far as what you're doing in the era, NIL, transfer portal, I don't know, BCS, 4-team playoff, 12-team playoff, go further back than that. It's the same 10 schools that win the championships.
It's crazy, huh?
It is. You can change whatever you want. It's the same 10 schools that are going to be competing for them now. Maybe the 12-team playoff allows for an Arizona State every couple of years or an Indiana every couple of years, which is great. Like, more programs feeling like they have a chance and feeling like they're invited to the party, I think is better for everybody. But are you really invited to the party?
No.
You know what I mean? When you really get to the party, it's Texas, it's Ohio State, it's Notre Dame, it's Penn State, it's Georgia. You know what I mean? It's all the same ones.
Yeah,
it's the same ones.
Well, congratulations if you feel if you're from
hell yeah,
yeah exactly.
You're Big Ten champs.
If you're from
baby.
Indiana, if you're from Penn State, if you're from Northwestern. Hey,
yeah,
so be it.
Big Ten's on top.
Because the thing about it is, people from other schools in the SEC have said the same.
It is funny because I've been to a few Washington playing SEC schools, and like an SEC chant would break out. I was like, all right, like, you're not Alabama.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Anyway, Mark Schlereth is going to join us next. We'll talk some NFL playoffs with him, our Odyssey NFL insider, every Wednesday at 1:20. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Hump Day Wednesday, 20 minutes away from the AMA. This hour brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at reliableair.com. 120 on Wednesdays means our Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth joins the show, host of the Stink of Truth podcast, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. I know Mark recognizes the intro music.
Oh, yeah, so, a little psychedelic verse. How are you going to go wrong with that?
Just the attention to I got to give a shout-out to Bo Johnson, because you mentioned that liking that band last week, and he just got in my ears like, we're playing psychedelic verse coming back from the break. I was like, man, that's just the X's and O's, man. The crossing the T's and dotting the I's.
That's getting it done.
That's getting it done right there. Exactly right. All right, let's talk about all these games from last weekend and start looking ahead to this weekend as well. What was your reaction? I think to me the most kind of surprising result was 45-31, but what was your reaction in real time watching the Commanders beat the Lions, and then, of course, when it was over?
You know, it's funny because, obviously, you know, that's where I started my career in Washington, and so I've got a rooting interest, a vested interest. Dan Quinn and I are good buddies, and I love the organization and what they're doing with the organization right there. But I found myself, like, kind of almost secretly rooting for the Lions and feeling bad for Dan Campbell and like that lovable losers organization that's just been dominant the last 2 years. They got to an NFC championship last year, got the number one seed this year, had so many injuries on the defensive side of the ball, and then just to take a dump in their helmet, in the divisional round this year.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. I felt sad for them. I felt bad for them. And, you know, I really wanted to see Dan Campbell have that success. And, you know, he's also a good buddy, but it was weird. I don't know if I feel, if I'm like the rest of America, but I felt a little bit let down that they're not moving on in the NFC.
Yeah, it was. I see you right there. Tell me about something real quick, because they lost their coordinator, Ben Johnson, going to Chicago. Obviously, it looks like AG's going to get a job. Do you think they have a fall off because they lose those guys?
I think they're still super talented. You know, like, there's a couple other issues right now. They just lost their D-line coach.
Right.
And their O-line coach, Hank Fraley, who is a good player in this league for a long time and is an outstanding O-line coach. Outstanding. He went for his second interview in Seattle yesterday as the OC, the offensive coordinator. So, like, there's a lot of continuity that you've had the last 3 years that's now gone. So, like, that scares me a little bit. That concerns me a little bit, but you still look at them. I mean, O-line wise, they're one of the top three O-lines in football. They've got the best slot receiver in Amon-Ra St. Brown in football. They've got a Jameis Williams who can totally lift the top of coverage. You know, Sam Laporte is a great tight end, two-back system that they're awesome. Like, they are still so loaded on the offensive side of the ball, and then they'll get their defensive injury guys back.
Yeah.
I'm not that concerned. But it's just another challenge for them to overcome.
When you're watching Jaden Daniels play, what more than anything stands out that's sort of almost hard to believe that this guy's a rookie doing what he's doing?
Well, first and foremost, I think about defensive coordinators taking over as head coaches. And normally with a defensive, head coach, you err on the side of protecting your defense. Mm-hmm. Like in all your decision-making processes, right? You err on the side of let's protect our defense. And he's like, screw our defense. Like, that's not what we do well. Like, screw them. And so, like, Jaden Daniels, the entirety of the offense is put on his shoulders, and they say, hey, go make a play, kid. You know, when you think about the little bubble screen thrown to Terry McLaurin last week, like, it's an innocuous enough throw, right? It's behind the line of scrimmage, not that big a deal. But to recognize the blitz, to throw it into the blitz where you have a favorable number count, and then to let Terry go do his thing, like, if you don't recognize that and you don't throw that play into that blitz, right, you don't have that numbers count advantage on the outside of the passing game. It's little things like that. And then it's the fourth down conversions. Like, I saw something the other day. They were like 26 of 32 on fourth down on the season. It's like, it's ridiculous. And then, you know, every other rookie quarterback that's gotten his team this far to an NFC or AFC championship game, every other one had like a top three defense. And you look at why that's Ben Roethlisberger, that's Mark Sanchez, that's even, you know, even Sean King back in the day with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And there's a list of maybe one or two others. Like, where's Washington right now? Like 20th, 22nd, something like that? I mean, it's amazing. They put it all on his shoulders and say, hey, go win us a game. And he just does it consistently.
Yeah, he's a baller. What about the so-called game of the weekend? Obviously, Baltimore not getting it done up there in Buffalo. And when you look at Baltimore, so close, so talented, great year by Lamar, you know, running back, Pro Bowl receiver, but they can't get over that hump. Now, I was thinking about this morning. If that game's in Baltimore, do you think they come away with the win?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a good chance that it happens, right? That's why you want home field advantage. Right. And they are that talented, you know, and it's funny because, you know, you get the Lamar stands that go after you when you say, hey, he's got to play better in the playoffs, but the proof is in the pudding. Like, you get that narrative exists because you don't play well in playoff games. And I get that he put an 8-play drive together to score and had a chance at the 2-point conversion and Mark Andrews drops it. And I get all that. But they run a little smash corner route that he throws an interception. That might be the worst throw in the history of playoff football. I mean, it was 9 yards over the head of the receiver and 8 yards behind him for that safety to intercept that ball. Like, it is a horrible throw. And then you compound the snap issue with a fumble, and you take a sack on second down and goal from the 2. Like, little things like that where you did not play great football in that first half. And, you know, ultimately that narrative exists because you haven't played well in the playoffs.
Right.
And think about this. I think 15% of the time that Lamar has played over the course of his career in the regular season, 15% of the time he has a 2+ turnover game. In the playoffs, he's had 8 playoff games. 4 of them have been 2+ turnover games. Mm. So 50% of his games in the playoffs result in 2 or more turnovers. It's unacceptable. Yeah.
Hard to win like that. Mark Schlereth joining us. He's our Odyssey NFL Insider, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can find Hellman's at your local grocery store to add extra deliciousness and flavor to your game day dishes this football season. The Eagles are not afraid to just give Saquon the ball repeatedly, 26 carries in the win over the Rams. How do you stop him? Like, how do you slow him down as a defense?
Well, I mean, you know, everybody has a plan, and obviously, you know, you roll safeties up, you get an A-man boxes, you do all that stuff. But the great teams have a plan to run against that stuff and know exactly how to exploit that kind of run defense. And the thing about that is when you're good and you're committed to running the ball against those 8-man fronts, if you break that first line of defense, dude, you're house calling it, especially with his speed, because everybody's tucked up within a 5-yard area, and you got one deep safety. Now, if that deep safety can chase you down, then we'd need a different back. And so, ultimately, like, I always get enamored by coaches because it just irritates me. They're like, hey, man, they had, you know, I'm sure you've heard coordinators say this or head coaches, hey, they were playing this in an 8-man front. We're not going to bang our heads against the wall. Right. We're going to throw the ball where we have access on the outside. And I'm like, garbage, baloney. You don't know what you're talking about. Because every time you get into the red zone, you're facing an 8 or 9-man box. I mean, the safety's heels are at 8 yards. So they're not at 14 anymore, 12. So, like, you better know how to run the ball in those situations. That's where people are like, well, how come you're struggling in the red zone? Well, you struggle in the red zone because you don't know how to run it against heavy, you know, heavy defensive boxes. And so Philadelphia understands how to do that. They understand, you know, safety rotation and where they need to go and how to get an extra hat and how to turn the outside guy on the wide side of the football field away from the run free. And so, and how to, you know, how to gain an advantage or gain a blocker on the front side. They get it. And so they're going to do it. And if you look at last week, like Saquon averaged 3 yards a carry except for the 78-yarder and the 62-yarder.
Yep. Right?
I mean, that's what you do, and you hope that he doesn't get one of those bust outs. But, you know, ultimately he seems to get one, at least one every game.
Can the Buffalo Bills go in the Arrowhead? Can Pat Mahomes be, you know, can they finally go in there and get him up out of there and the Buffalo Bills represent the AFC in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think there's a good chance. I mean, you look at Kansas City offensively, right? They, like last week, Worthy's the only wide receiver that caught a ball. He had, I think, 4 catches in that game. Every other receiver didn't catch one football, meaning any wide receiver. You know, it's Smith-Schuster, Hollywood Brown, DeAndre Hopkins. Nobody else caught a ball. It was him, and it was Travis Kelce. And so offensively, you know, if you look at their offensive listings, they're 15th to 22nd all the way through up and down their offensive rankings. But they just make plays. They make plays in critical situations. And all, you know, last week it was, hey, man, we need plays on defense. Spagnuolo blitzes them 5 straight times, gets sacks, you know, creates, you know, turnovers type of thing, or make them stop the drive, make them punt or kick a field goal, right? They get the block field. They just find a way to get things done, and they just execute at a really high level. And as much as it drives me crazy that they get the favorable calls because, you know, their quarterback's a superstar, mm-hmm. and that drives me crazy, you know what really the difference is that they just out-execute their opponents in critical moments at all 3 levels, on special teams, on defense, and on offense.
Mark, great stuff as always. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Sting.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Mark Schiller there, Odyssey NFL Insider, again, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. He's the host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Add some Hellman's to your game day. Mayo game day. Be delicious. He did me such a favor in that interview, Randy, because I saw a stat that said that Jaden Daniels was the 5th rookie quarterback to make a championship game.
Mm-hmm.
But then the graphic didn't say who the other ones were.
Okay.
That just drives me crazy. Like, it's like, come on, tell me who they are. He listed them. He came on and listed them. It was so helpful. Sean King, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Ben Roethlisberger. Yep. That was a guest Roethlisberger.
Yep.
Sanchez.
Yep.
Daniels. And then now there is one more. We've got to find the other one. There's one more. But it was so nice of him to do that. Because I've been thinking about it since then. I could have Googled it. But
you could have. But I'm trying to think who that other one too.
I don't know. I couldn't come up with it.
Oh, man. To a conference championship.
Yeah. Just a conference. You just got to make the – you didn't have to win it. You just had to make the conference championship game as a rookie. Hmm. Very hard to do. Hasn't been recent.
Think about it.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an AMA. Any question, any topic. The phone lines are open at 404-726-0929. Call us up. Ask us anything. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Brought to you by Right From The Heart, rightfromtheheart.org. The AMA to wrap the show up every single day. Final hour of the midday show brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at reliableair.com. Plenty of phone lines available today. 406-0929 if you want to jump on. Maybe less folks on the roads, maybe staying home. But anyway, you want to get on there, you can. There's some space for you. But there is one guy on hold, Randy, who we didn't know if he ever would be on hold again. But he's back. He's back with us, Mo in Columbus. Hey, Mo.
Andy, Randy, what's going on, fellas?
How are you?
How you doing, Mo?
How are things?
Hey, man. Everything is good, man. Listen, I've been listening to the show. My sleep pattern's been a little messed up.
Because you're sleeping on the couch, right?
Yeah, because your ass in your bed.
nah, not even that. So, wifey has had pneumonia, man. And it kind of sort of is bad. It kind of started like that day.
Exactly. She got so mad at you, she got sick.
Right, which was the day before my birthday. Mm-hmm. So crazy enough, I wake up at like 5 o'clock on my birthday and I just start sneezing. And I sneeze for like 3 hours straight. Like I'm thinking something is like wrong. And basically that's the way I started my birthday. Man, let me tell y'all, it ain't nothing like when your lady go and close the door and start cooking. And you hear them Mary J. Blige songs, and you hear them tweet songs, and you're like, dang.
Yeah.
I messed up for real.
That's how you know.
So, look, and then she was cooking the birthday dinner and making the birthday cake while listening to those songs. And I'm like, ooh.
Didn't I eat it?
This is not going to be good. This is not good. But the day after my birthday, she actually threw me a surprise birthday party, man. It was like one of the best parties ever. A cornhole birthday party.
Oh, yeah, you're a big cornhole guy.
Yeah.
I remember that.
She had the biggest American Legion that is down here. She had it taken over by our entire cornhole league.
All right.
And everybody came out. Over 100 people came out. And she bought a couple bottles. So we've been good, man.
So you guys
we've been good.
Good to hear. Good to
I've been apologizing. apologizing.
Whatever. Yeah. You know what happened, right? She already put the deposits down for that place. So yeah. So she had to go. She had to go through with it. Go with it.
You got to put a deposit down in American Legion.
No. She didn't even have to put a deposit down. Mm-hmm. But I got a question for y'all. But real quick. No, we've been good. I've had to apologize a million times because we were doing a podcast together. And to be honest, I've done this before on the podcast, and she's told me, stop embarrassing me to the world.
Yep.
So that was the issue. So my question, a serious question. So we can send people into space, and we can send subs underneath the ocean, but when it gets too cold, we got to leave our sinks running and drifting so the pipes don't bust. I don't understand that. And do y'all still leave y'all's pipes dripping?
Thank you, Mo. Glad to hear things are okay. We were worried, you know. We don't want to be involved in any relationships ending. We want to create it.
It wasn't our fault.
Well, it wasn't, but it was on our show. You know what I mean?
I do not take the blame.
No, I wouldn't have taken the blame. I would just hated for that to have happened and sort of like been a bystander for it.
Right.
I'm happy to know that things are okay, though. You know what I mean? It's good. That's a good rule, though. You know, like, because everybody does a podcast now. And everyone likes to tell their secrets and all that kind of stuff. Tell whatever story you want about yourself. Whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
But don't say stuff that you don't want people to know about other people.
Nope.
That's just what it is.
Especially when it's your woman.
Especially then. But that's just a good rule in general because, like, you know, you don't know what other people want you to be talking about. I'll say anything about me, but if it's your information, then it's your information, you know? What do you do with your pipes when it's cold?
Nothing.
Yeah, we didn't. I put the little styrofoam helmet things. I don't know what those are called. The cover for the, you know, for the hose thing.
Uh-huh.
I put those over the water hose.
Okay.
But I took the hose off and then put it over the little thing.
Okay.
But I didn't do anything else.
Oh yeah. Okay. You need to see a picture of the things for the water hose. I never heard that before.
You never seen those little like looks like a little bike helmet kind of.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I've never seen it.
I'll send you a picture.
Okay. So send me one of those.
You can also use a towel.
You can use a towel.
Yeah. Towel and just wrap up the water hose pipes?
You just put it over the spigot outside the house because if that stays warm or warmer, then the ice won't like start and work its way in.
I got you.
Now, when I went to check mine, there was already ice in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm about to go check mine then.
So I put the thing over it anyway, but I haven't been home in a while, so hopefully it's okay.
Let me go check it.
I did drip my faucets.
You dripped them?
Older building, pipes don't trust. And
yeah, my house is really old. I probably should drip them. And I think we have in the past, but I don't think we did this time.
It's recommended when it gets, when you're into the 20s and then below 20 overnight, that's when it's kind of recommended.
Yeah, I don't always drip it every time it's close to freezing. Okay. But when the feels like is in the single digits and the real temps are in the teens, I did.
Nothing worse than a bursted pipe.
I could bet.
We had what's that?
Knocking on wood.
Oh yeah. We had like
is your microphone wooden?
it's on the bar down here in the basement.
We had the line to the ice maker got busted a couple years ago. Remember?
Oh yeah.
But we don't have an ice maker, so I didn't know. You know, you would know quickly if you had an ice maker and it stopped making ice. It's like, oh, the line must be, and then you go check, and that's like a day. We don't have an ice maker. We just had a line that was on and busted, and then it was shooting water on the subfloor of our bathroom for who knows how long.
Oh.
To the point where we almost like stepped through the floor.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Now again, it ended up being a win because insurance covered it, and we got a new bathroom renovation, which was good. But yeah, bursted pipes are brutal. All right, Chris is in Douglasville. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just want to say, since the Falcons seem to be in the spirit of rehiring coaches and interviewing guys that were here in the past and giving guys jobs that were here in the past, how come a guy like Marquand Manuel was never considered for another coaching position on the staff when he had our defense in 2017 ranked top 10 in almost every statistical category and 14th in overall sacks? 8th overall defense, 9th and 3rd down, 9th and points allowed, and he never gets an interview or a look. It just blows my mind.
You know something, Chris?
I think about that.
Chris,
thank
it's
you, Chris.
Crazy. I thought about that this morning, and I thought the same thing. Why didn't Marquand back? Because Marquand just he's the Giants DB coach, I think I saw yesterday, that he just
went over there? Because he's been with the Jets.
He's with the Jets. And I think he's a new DB coach with New York, with the Giants now.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken. But I sure did think about that name this morning.
No, it's a weird one because, like, you look at his resume. He's done all the stuff that you would normally do to work your way up to being a defensive coordinator. He was defensive coordinator here for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the two best defensive years the Falcons have had literally in the last 15.
Yep.
Now, again, personnel's part of it, all that. I get it. But, like, he had good defenses while he was here. And then everybody got fired. And then he had a year out of the league. And then he was with Philly as a DB's coach. And then he's been coaching the safeties in New York. And I don't know. It's a real mystery.
I didn't, like I said, but I don't know why I didn't think about him coming back. I was like, damn. But I was like, well, maybe something happened where, you know, scapegoated or something.
Well, here's the weird thing, and maybe people know more about the story than I do. I'm just looking at the timeline here. His last year with the Falcons as DC was 18, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And wasn't that, didn't Dan Quinn, like, take over?
That's what I'm saying. Was he scapegoated or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the relationship might not be great.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
That's
like, everybody that's come back here was people that kind of were retained and promoted when Dan Quinn got fired, right?
Right.
Like, Ra was the interim coach. Ulbrich was the interim DC, all that kind of stuff. So, maybe Marquand doesn't have a good relationship with him. I really don't know. But the timeline, he was gone before they all were.
Yes.
Right?
And that's why I said, something had to happen. Because I think it kind of ticked me off. I think I felt Marquand was being scapegoated.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it was.
I do remember when that happened, and it was like, real? All right, I guess. Like, the buck stops here now?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That's the guy we're blaming? Okay. And we have a few phone lines available if you want to jump on. 404-726-0929. Steven is in Winder. Hey, Steven.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
I was wondering, who is your favorite Atlanta player in Atlanta right now? Like, it could be Hawks, Atlanta United, Braves, Falcons, whatever. Who's your favorite player right now that reps the A?
All right. Good question.
My favorite.
Billy Horschel.
My favorite Atlanta player right now is Bijan.
Dang it.
Bijan. Definitely.
Well, good, because I'll take Penix.
Yeah. I love me some Bijan.
I do
love
too.
Me some Bijan.
Love Bijan Robinson. I would say Acuna if he was healthy, but I mean, he's my favorite. I love Acuna, but it just, you know, he didn't miss so much time last year, and he's going to miss the start of this year too. Braves haven't done a whole lot this offseason, Randy. You notice that?
I have. I want to say that I'm in the small category of people who are not surprised.
Oh, you're
but,
not.
I mean,
not.
But people are very surprised. Really?
Well, I'm just like, Anthopoulos normally at least signs like some old pitcher.
It's still time.
That's true.
It's still time.
True. Normally he does it sooner, though.
Yeah, he's just waiting for the right old guy.
Okay. He's biding his time.
Yeah, he's waiting for the right old guy.
Maybe he's not old enough yet. The guy's not old enough yet.
That could be it.
He's
maybe he has
another
a birthday in February.
Yeah, he's got another birthday.
A February, March birthday.
They can sign him.
Would people be reacting this way if the Dodgers just didn't have like this crazy like week and a half long spending spree where they like, I feel like it's as tied to the Dodgers adding pieces as it is anything else. Like if those pieces, the relievers,
I don't know
if it's spread elsewhere. I don't know.
I think if they had just had done kind of anything, you know what I mean? They haven't.
Well, they did. You know,
hey man,
yeah, to chase
be patient. Now, if you think they're going to go toe-to-toe with the Dodgers, you need to reevaluate what team you root for.
Can we add one guy for every five the Dodgers add?
But who says they're not going to, Abe?
I'm not bothered about it. I'm with you. I'm not surprised. Yeah. But I think a lot of people like, can we get in on this at all?
Yeah, they want. That's the thing about sports and stuff. I'm sorry. Damn, Grandma. Sports and everything like that. It's always, oh, they're doing it, so why aren't we? Well, he's still one of the best teams in baseball. Now, nobody is going to be, if you look at lineup-wise, like them. But when this team here in Atlanta's healthy, they can go with anybody.
Yeah, and maybe that's what it is. It's just, hey, we got so unlucky last year health-wise. We don't really feel like we have a lot of holes to address. I mean, it's going to suck that some of these guys aren't going to start the year. And I did think they'd do something with Arcia, but maybe not. Maybe they know something we don't know. Yo is in Atlanta.
Hey, all right, so I don't get to ask you a lot of questions, so I'm going to ask you a simple one.
Sure.
We are going into an offense where we need to rebuild our defense on the Atlanta Falcons. Mm-hmm. Is there anybody on our team that you'd be willing to say, yeah, you got to go because you cost too much because you're not as good as the next best player? And then who you think we could trade to probably pick up some draft capital?
Oh, the second one, I don't know. I mean, I can't.
As far as somebody that you can trade,
yeah, I don't know about. Any
I don't
of
think
that.
I don't think anybody you want to trade will get you a lot of value.
Yeah, back. I mean, there's names that people would like to see traded, probably, but I don't know what you're not going to get anything back for Kirk if you're even able to trade him. What are you going to get for Kyle Pitts if you trade him? Like a day three draft pick?
Yeah, you might. I mean, I think that's probably
a sunk cost.
I think that's probably the one. Maybe is Kyle. No, I wouldn't move him. I like the Algiers thing.
I've heard people suggest that, but why? Like, Algiers is a good running back.
He's a good running back. They don't cost nothing.
Doesn't cost anything. He was like a fourth-round draft pick. What are you going to get back for him? Fourth-round draft pick?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You need
about
a second running back.
Yeah, and so, but I think he's in a position where he's buying this time, too.
Right.
Yeah,
because when he hits free agency,
he's gonna be a starter somewhere
for sure.
Yeah, he'll be a starter somewhere.
This is that was just his third year, right?
Yes,
so you have one more year on his rookie contract. Yeah, again, that wouldn't make any sense either.
Yeah, like, and plus nice the running back, and plus you're starting to see the run game coming back. I think he'll be a starter somewhere. Now, I don't know if he'll be Michael Turner like that,
right?
But I think he'll be a good running back.
No, I think so too. I think the Falcons will have him for another year, and then probably he'll get signed somewhere in the next offseason. As far as what was he like? Potential cut candidates. I mean, we've talked about a little bit of restructure with some of the guys. Like, you could restructure with
I think the defense,
AJ Terrell, maybe.
Yeah, but I'm talking about, like, you're talking about somebody like
Brady.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's going to be the name. Like, as far as the, like, restructuring guys who are going to be here for a while to get money, AJ, Jesse, Lindstrom, those are the guys.
Yeah.
But if you're talking about, like some serious hard conversation, it'll definitely be Grady.
Onyemata, too, probably, just in terms of.
Well, I think Grady just because.
Oh, Grady's way harder. Yeah. Grady's one of the great players in the history of the franchise.
Yeah, I think that one.
Yeah. All right, let's get the takeaways of the day. Takeaways of the day.
I learned about tracks and scats.
Yeah.
And time is a flat circle. Never again have I heard that.
Yeah, just if you just root for the Falcons, everything just comes back.
Yeah.
History's just a prologue, Randy. That's all it is. The Lions took a dump in their helmet last weekend, according to Mark Schlereth.
Yes, they did.
So mean. Hey, if I'm ever going to be cursed out by a coach, let it be Nick Saban over a stripper.
Yeah
man.
Like Randy said, tracks and scat, that's how you know.
Yeah, man. Well, y'all be safe out there, man. My boys, y'all be safe getting home. I'll see y'all in Kennesaw. No, I'm sorry, in Mayreta tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll be broadcasting live from the Atlanta United training ground tomorrow. Garth Lagerwey going to join us at 12:20. Friday, we'll be in Kennesaw at Twin Peaks. Come see us. We'd love to see you. Talk to you then.
Later.